Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So Singapore is well known to be a business hub for many businesses around the world. But we have seen, you know, with COVID-19, how things are changing. You know, you've got MNCs here. They're also starting to feel the pinch.
Yes. Well, some are resorting to extreme measures like downsizing. Many are still trying to their best to ensure the worst does not happen here.
According to the Singapore German Chamber of Industry and Commerce Council member Alexander Melchers, MNCs here may have received directives from their global headquarters about retrenchment. And of course, all of this is on the back of the impact of the pandemic that we're facing.
But the management here can tell their headquarters that the approach is different. And through collaboration between the government, company and unions, they can implement other cost-cutting measures and preserve their workforce in Singapore.
Okay, well, how long can this last, especially post-COVID-19? Will we see MNCs, you know, potentially moving out of Singapore to save costs? We found out more from a good friend of ours, Victor Mills, Chief Executive, Singapore International Chamber of Commerce, or SICC. Victor, good morning. How have you been?
Good morning, Elliot. Nice to hear your voice. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good, sir. And it's so nice to have you back on the show with us.
Thank you.
Well, hello, Victor. It's Manisha here. Good to talk to you.
Hello, Manisha.
Hello. Let's first of all talk about MNCs here in Singapore. How many are there and how has the growth been?
Well, I mean, we've got an enormous number of businesses in Singapore. I think at the last count, it's around 7,000. Foreign-owned businesses based in Singapore, including all the MNCs that we know about in the financial services world and in manufacturing and so on. So it's a very vibrant business community, as you know. We're a wonderful mix of local and foreign-owned businesses.
So earlier I mentioned how you have some of these MNCs that may have received directives from their global headquarters. And to relate this to, you know, whether or not we're seeing MNCs starting to move out slowly, what kind of directives are they being given? I mean, is it pay cut or hiring freeze or anything like that?
Well, I mean, obviously, I don't know what they're all being told, but we can surmise that, sure, like any other business, cost control is now really number one, because it's managing your cash flow and it's managing your costs. And since costs are a big element of your cash flow, you've got to manage those. I mean, every business is going through the same challenge, no matter how big or how small it is. Every business wants to maintain as much of its talent as possible. In other words, retain as many jobs as possible. But if you're in a sector that's particularly hard hit, whether it's aerospace, aviation, tourism, hospitality, sadly, we've seen retrenchments. And that's in the nature of the cycle we're in, where there is no business to substantiate the headcounts prior to COVID-19. It is a very, very sad situation for so many businesses and so many people.
Yeah, and yet the National Wages Council says that firms hit by COVID-19 should take other measures before resorting to pay cuts, retrenchments, and this includes MNCs in terms of who they're giving the advice to. I mean, Singapore government's assistance has really helped a lot of companies, hasn't it? And I'm just looking back at the comments from Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong last week, and this was all about the fact that he said this thing about foreign companies, indeed multinational companies, still keen on Singapore. I guess it's quite important to have these government measures in place.
Yes, it is. And those measures have been very, very helpful to many businesses. But some, of course, of the MNCs have not benefited because they're not owned 30% by Singaporean interests. But nonetheless, Singapore is a very attractive hub for businesses. And that is because the Singaporeans and their leaders have, over the last 55 years, built a brand that is attractive in terms of integrity, in terms of the rule of law, so that people can enforce their contracts in Singapore, that there is access to talent, both local and foreign, that there is a progressive tax regime, that there is access to finance. All of these things together make up the exceptional Singapore brand. And even though we're going through tough times, we must make sure that we burnish that brand and we don't undermine it.
But if we were to look at it as, you know, balancing between wanting to be a part of the Singapore brand and the unfortunate cost-cutting measures that have to be implemented, the ones that you mentioned earlier on, wouldn't the realization of working from home help as a factor of keeping these MNCs here in Singapore?
In what way would it help?
Well, I mean, you could save costs in terms of office space and still keep your headcount here.
Well, of course, that's only if you give up the office space that you had pre-COVID. And I think we will see some of that, because when life does return to normal after this ghastly pandemic has passed, I think you'll see a hybrid, because many people have found it productive to work from home. And many companies are asking themselves, well, do we need quite as much office space as before? And the answer is probably not, because while they'll need to have socially distanced office space for public health reasons, they probably won't need multiple floors in commercial real estate ever again. And I think there will be a long-term trend of working from home, working in the office for some of the time, but not everybody will be in the office at the same time. So I think that's true. But to your point about cost saving, you can only save costs if you give up the space. And it's too soon for most businesses to make that determination yet, because we're all trying to work out how long is this going to take, and what are the implications of working from home on our workforce? What is beneficial to them? What is beneficial to the business? And to Manisha's point earlier about, you know, doesn't cost override the brand? Yes, it does, of course. Commercial decisions have to be made, and sometimes when you're in an economic downturn, tough decisions will be made. And those tough decisions will only be made when you've exhausted every other alternative at your disposal. And it's been wonderful to see how many businesses have been keeping that tripartite spirit of working with government, MOM, working with NTUC, the unions, to do right by their people when they are left with no choice but to retrench. And I think the vast majority of businesses do the right thing, and woe betide anybody that's not, because the tripartite partners will be all over their case.
Yeah, this is true. We're speaking to Victor Mills, Chief Executive of Singapore International Chamber of Commerce. Now, Victor, here's a question that I've been longing to ask someone who might have some perspective on it. One of the other issues that we've been dealing with here in Asia has been Hong Kong, of course, and we keep seeing the flood of information coming from there, and now, you know, 300 people arrested over more pro-democracy protests over the weekend. Has that been encouraging any MNCs that ordinarily would have headquarters in Hong Kong to come to Singapore? Are you hearing any of this?
I'm hearing sort of anecdotal rumors, but I haven't heard anything concrete. But you can imagine that businesses are asking themselves, is it possible for us to operate in the same way as before the national security law was enacted in Hong Kong? It does make Hong Kong less attractive, certainly in the short term, until businesses can see how the law is being implemented and applied. And of course, Singapore is one of several attractive alternative locations. And this is another reason why we must continue to burnish our brand that we have, you know, built up with blood, sweat, and tears over the last half century plus, because we do want to remain attractive to those businesses who are looking for an additional or an alternative base. Because that translates into more capital movement, more capital flows into Singapore, the possibility of more jobs, and that has got to be good for Singapore.
But there's also this debate last week, Victor, about the stricter EP and SP requirements in terms of salary and all that, starting salary and all that. Does this, and to keep it open, does this deter or sway MNCs? What is your opinion of this?
Well, you'll see how important optics and perceptions are. I mean, the Prime Minister in the same keynote speech that you mentioned earlier in Parliament last week, you know, said the world is watching us. And he quoted a Financial Times article that said something along the lines that Singapore is becoming a less attractive place for expatriate workers because of rising unemployment and they're being axed. This is something we have to manage very, very carefully, because it's not an either-or, it's an and situation. Mm. We need foreign and local talent. And a small city-state like ours, with a declining local population that is not reproducing itself, added to which we are a rapidly aging local population, we need to make sure we have an infusion of new blood. And that includes being open to foreign talent, to attract more entrepreneurs, to attract more investors, to come to Singapore, to set up businesses, to provide jobs. So we've got to be very careful. We are, as the Prime Minister said in his speech, we are being watched. Mm. And people find that there's this dichotomy. On the one hand, we say we're open to global talent. We are a global city. And on the other hand, we're sending different signals. So when we do this, it means that people do get confused and they then look for alternatives. And of course, there are plenty of alternatives and we have to realize this.
Yeah, I mean, it's also confusing because there is an apparent lack of talent in certain sectors as well. We do need the foreign help.
This has always been the case. I mean, if you put your historian's hat on and you look at the last 201 years of development in Singapore, you will see that this country has always been built, always progressed with a mix of local mm-hmm. and foreign talent. Yeah. Oh. And that is not going to change because a population of 3.5 million Singaporeans will never produce as much talent as the economy requires. Yeah. So you don't need one or the other, you need both.
I mean, this is completely anecdotal and something I hear amongst, you know, some of my expatriate friends, but some of them are saying, well, especially with work from home now, who says I have to be here to work from home? I can do that anywhere in the ASEAN region, and why not? So, you know, Singapore has to really strengthen its brand. I think you've already been pointing this out. But where else could people go in Southeast Asia?
Well, if you're a business, you're spoiled for choice. I mean, Malaysia is another very attractive hub, and it's attracting business all the time. You've got Vietnam, you've got Indonesia, you've got lots of choice now, which is different, of course, to when we were building the brand. There was less choice. There's now much more. And in terms of your question about I don't need to be here to work, this is the great concern, because not only are businesses discovering that they need less office space than they thought they did, but they're also thinking, well, hang on a minute, we can have employees in Bangalore or Tokyo or Berlin or London or New York, because people can do the work and keep our business ticking over. And I think we have to be very conscious of that fact, that there are more and more choices, not only for the investment dollars and the entrepreneurs, but also for talent and workforce. I mean, this is the amazing thing about the technology. It's enabled us all to continue our lives, personal as well as commercial or professional. If this ghastly pandemic had happened 20 years ago, we'd all be on faxes. In other words, we would have collapsed by now. Mm.
Yeah.
So this is a concern, because you're getting the sort of decentralization of workforces, and it's sort of outsourcing plus, if you like, where businesses in the last 20 years have outsourced back office functions and so on, not only for cost reasons, but because there were insufficient people with the required skills to process the work in Singapore, so they outsourced. But now you can get talent from anywhere. And I think this is what we have got to be very conscious of, because a city-state lives and dies on the strength of its economy. More so, it's more dramatic than a regular country that is larger with different provinces and multiple cities. We have got to be very conscious of that, which is why the brand has got to shine and offer other components. And thankfully, you know, we've got this terrific brand that we must not take for granted, because like any reputation, it's hard won and easily lost.
It's a real reality check this morning. We've been speaking with Victor Mills, Chief Executive, Singapore International Chamber of Commerce. Victor, thank you so much for your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
You too, Elliot. And Manisha, nice to talk to you both. Take care.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.